When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeonhole Hockey, a participating member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris and today's co-host, Sam.
How's it going, hockey fans?
And we don't claim to be hockey experts, but simply overzealous hockey fans that love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special episode, kind of a short. Sam and I just got done watching the Dineen Cup Game 2 between Ogden and South Shore. So I think we kind of just want to jump into an overview of the first two games, because they've been wildly different games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, we wanted to talk about it yesterday, but I think that just the timing didn't work out. And I think that now we can definitely summarize it well and hopefully summarize it as to the best of our abilities of the first two games. And yeah, just very different contrast, like you said. Yesterday's game was a high-scoring affair, 7-3 in favor of Ogden, and today was a much, much lower-scoring affair. So we'll see how Game 3 turns out tomorrow. But Chris, do you want to jump into to Game 1 real quick?
Yeah, we can kind of briefly touch Game 1. Game 1 was wild. I mean, Ogden went down 2 goals. To kind of kick it off, and then they slowly started their comeback. And when they started their comeback, South Shore didn't have an answer for it. They ended up putting 7 up on South Shore. So I would say that there was a lot of great gameplay yesterday. It was a really intense game. It was a lot of fun for me to watch. Thankfully, I was able to watch the game in my kind of like that shared space in our apartment complex. So I was able to just, and when I mean yell, I was yelling. I was fired up. That was a great game to have that space to myself. I think I got a couple looks, but I don't care. I think I said it in season 1, Sam. You weren't on the podcast at that time, but I think I said if I had a choice between watching a Buffalo Sabres game and an Ogden Mustangs game, I would choose Ogden Mustangs, you know, without a second thought. And for me, this is, you know, kind of my Stanley Cup of the year. I mean, this is the team I've been rooting for. That's a team that I got me into junior hockey. I lived in the region for 4 years, you know, became a real big fan around season 5. And so to see them go all the way here, the WSHL days were kind of painful to me. You know, we made it to the Thorn Cup a couple times, but were unable to win it. I'm hoping this Dineen Cup is a little bit different. Game 1 looked like it was all Ogden. The 3 stars of the game for me, and I gave a 4-star because I feel like Tyler Lafferty, his hockey IQ that game, changing angles on the fly and stuff, was just, he was outstanding out there. So it's hard for me not to mention him, even though he wasn't one of my 3 stars. But my 3rd star was Tommy Jocks. He was a 1-man penalty kill. no give up in his game. My 2nd star was Jack Bartfield. Damn good back check. And really damn smart in the back end. I mean, it was just a lot of fun to watch. And ladies and gentlemen, this episode isn't edited at all. This is a quick drop. I'm not taking out all the ums or any weird things that might happen in the background. You're going to hear it all. And then our 1st star, or at least for me, was Cooper Fink. He was a missile that whole game. I think he got the game winning goal, if I'm not incorrect. I'd have to go back and check to see if he was the 4th goal scorer, but regardless of the goal, he was just physically stepping into the plays, into the game. I mean, he was really, really standout player of that game. I mean, all of them were, but Fink was my number 1 star for that game. Any thoughts on kind of the first game? And I mean, that was a game that I was fired up, man. I was ready to talk about it. Me and you were texting back and forth, and the timing wasn't working out. So I just ended up making chicken sliders and watching YouTube.
Well, Yeah, the my opinion on how like I come in as a fan from, you know, a slightly different perspective, but just more of along the lines of like, I'm rooting for West Coast hockey. Like, I'm just rooting for, you know, this mountain division to come in here and, you know, be a bit of a bull in a china shop and mix things up a bit. And yesterday, Ogden was able to put that game plan into effect with being not only the more physical team, but also having the better goalie in that game. He's had a tough game on the other side, or Kyes, excuse me. That's, I guess, how you pronounce it. And Volsky was very good in that second period, keeping them from being down 2-1 to tying things up to taking the lead. And ever since they scored that fourth goal, they just didn't look back. And I just feel like they played that kind of like mountain division, you know, throwing the body, being tough style of hockey. And I'm not sure that South Shore was really ready for that. South Shore did get, you know, two early goals in quick succession and on the same kind of play. And really, I think that their third goal might have even been scored in the same manner. So it really just took some adjustments from Ogden's end to turn that game around and get back into it. I was worried for a moment there, but they really put their pedal to the metal and looked like the better team for the second half of that game. And Volsky was certainly a big reason for part of that. Today's game was a bit of a different story. Today, they just, even though, yes, they got the early goal, it just didn't turn into anything besides that. Kyes was really good. And Ogden in the third period just couldn't stay out of the penalty box and just let it get to their heads. And it feels like this time around, unlike yesterday's game, South Shore really was the ones to actually make the adjustments heading into game two. And it worked out in their favor. And so now it's going to come down to tomorrow and see which team is going to make the proper adjustments heading into game three.
Yeah, and I think that's what that's going to have to happen into game three. South Shore was able to, like I said, make the proper adjustments, figure out Ogden's style and match it. And they beat him. I mean, this was a tight game despite was the final 3-1 or 4-1?
I think it was 3-1, although admittedly, I was not entirely tuned in at the very end.
Ogden just spent the last, we'll get into it, but Ogden just spent the last, I don't know, 15 minutes of the game on a 5-on-3, basically. It just didn't work out at the end after some 5-minute majors. And yeah, the game was heated, man. I love the Ogden fans that have shown up on the East Coast, because that's not an easy trip. It's not a cheap trip.
That's a long trek.
it's a long trek. You're talking about, you know, an easy 5-hour, 6-hour flight. You're talking about hotel costs, rental cars. It's an expensive trip. Time away from work for those that potentially may work the weekend or early into next week. They're not going to be back for those work days. So, you know, big shout out. And I guess they're going to be my first star overall is the Ogden Mustangs fans that have shown up and really kind of made it. You hear the "Let's Go Mustangs" chants.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it feels almost like an even split, which I was not expecting. I mean, there's definitely like some still, obviously, you know, South Shore is basically the host. So, you know, there's some of that's definitely apparent with the amount of fans and jerseys that they have there. But I mean, there's tons of Ogden fans, and you know, when there's a bad call against Ogden, you can hear them. Like, it's not, it's not shocking, you know?
Oh, and see them. But I think that the Dan Kasia has been doing a great job of the coverage. This is in the previous years. I think all the coverage was between all the leagues was pretty standard and basic. And in terms of the US coverage, I think right now the USPHL and NCDC, because I will say that it was the damn good coverage for the USPHL in nationals as well, like the tier three nationals for the premier and the elite. It was good coverage. I like being able to hear the refs mic in. I like being able to see the different camera angles, the instant replays. I mean, they're doing a hell of a job
set up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, a lot of effort. So huge shout out as well to the Dan K Show for being able to really upgrade their coverage from years past. So I'm excited to see where they're going to keep going with it. And they were saying that the fan base seems, of course, I can't see the arena, but it seems pretty split 50-50 with all the Mustangs fans sitting on one side and all the South Shore Kings fans sitting on the other side. And it's great to hear as well that this is apparently the biggest crowd these East Coast teams have ever played against, which is a fairly standard crowd for the West Coast.
yeah, exactly.
But it would be great that, you know, hopefully it's games like this that actually drive those fans into the arenas for these East Coast games. And I mean, I'm, you know, the NCDC and such might not like me saying this, but for those NAHL and NCDC games, I mean, there's a lot of really great tier two hockey programs on the East Coast that get nobody showing up. You know, the Northeast Generals, I mean, we're big fans of them on this podcast, and I think they're lucky to get like 20 people at a game. I think something like this with the NCDC kind of, you know, showing that West Coast hockey is severely underrated. And I will say even the NAHL's like Southern teams really show up. I think New Mexico and El Paso and everything, they really get those crowds rolling in. I will say with the NA3, it's not Yellowstone. I think it's Helena that really, yeah, those crowds are intense and fun to watch. But those West Coast crowds, we're used to seeing these big crowds. This is not uncommon for us, but it's apparently very uncommon for the South Shore Kings and for those East Coast teams. And it would be nice if that wasn't. I would like to see, I might actually watch more East Coast NCDC hockey if the crowds would show up. It's important for me to, even watching from, you know, I don't know how many thousands of miles away. I'm on an island off of British Columbia. So, you know, it's a far way away, but you know, your Rogue Valley games, the crowds show up and they're so much more fun to watch. And if I'm watching a game, you know, pick arena, actually, you know, I can just pick on Provo now that they're no longer part of the NCDC. It was kind of hard sometimes watching Predators games. The crowds weren't showing up. And
yeah, it makes a big difference. And
congratulations to Casper. I'm excited to see the new team name, and I think it should be the Casper Predators. Just putting it out there. No need to change something that's perfect. I think that's the best jersey in the whole of the USPHL or NCDC. So to see it disappear, just like I saw my Buffalo Stampede jersey disappear, which I think I ranked third overall, would be a tragedy. But I mean, I guess for me, Chicago Cougars would step right into first place if both those jerseys disappeared. So congratulations, Chicago. But moving back onto the series, yeah, I mean, this game, I had a different feel to it, man. I will say the Ogden fans were getting warnings near the end of the second period by the refs, and towards the end of the game there I did at least see one fan get kicked out of the game.
Yeah, it was a game that was tight and was hard fought, and both teams were definitely like wanting to get that game-breaking goal. And you know, there were definitely times where Volsky was a little shaky in net on his side, and Kais was really putting in a good game on the other end. But
what was the final shot count? Because honestly, I thought Volsky, I didn't really see any shakiness in Volsky. I think towards the, I don't know, like the 12th minute of 5-on-3.
Maybe not in the third period, just more so in the earlier parts of the game with like just, you know, some lucky no goal calls. But I think that.
Well, I think, okay, well, there was
in the end, it was Volsky that ended up with way more shots faced. And so, you know, he did his best to keep his team in the game. And unfortunately, just the wheels fell off once South Shore went up 2-1.
Yeah, and I think a part of that, and I'm going to look at the final count here, because I think he made 31 saves in game one, so he faced a lot more shots and ended up, I mean, he didn't end up with one of my stars of the game, because I think a lot of those shots weren't, he was pretty solid. I mean, there was a lot of the shots I don't think were high-threat shots in game one. The Ogden defense really played well this game. He stopped a lot of really high, and it did end up 3-1 as a final. Because yeah, it was basically 1-1 until the 5-on-3s happened, and then what are you going to do?
Yeah, there's only so much you can do as a goalie in that situation.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at the final shot count. Yeah, Volsky stopped 43 of 46. Like, I mean Ryan Keyes played. When I mean, he stepped up to it. He stopped 25 of 26. And I think they said he's committed to. They said Mercyhurst, and it wasn't Mercyhurst, was it?
No, I think it's Merrimack.
Okay. So, I mean, really excited for him moving forward. But, I mean, back again into this game, wow. I mean, the wheels fell off. And it all started with, and I didn't get to see the replay, but it did seem like it was a head shot. And I don't say player's name, so don't, but it seemed like it was a headshot. And so Ogden ended up with a 5-minute major. And you did mention that the no goals. So retreating back to that, there were two no goals, one on each team in the first game. I really disagreed with that Ogden one, but the net was barely off, but it was off. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It was
not really off. I don't know. It looked like it was basically on.
And the thing is, it was a direct shot, and the angle wouldn't have affected the goal. And I see those goals count all the time because it didn't affect, like, if you as a ref can go, the net being off affected that potentially being a goal because it came in from an angle or something, then yeah, okay. But if it's straight on, like, that was a goal. But regardless, Ogden took that game, so it doesn't matter. This game, yeah, there were, three no goal calls, I think, for South Shore, two or three for South Shore, and like one for Ogden.
It was a lot. Yeah, the refs were having a tough game.
Yeah, they were definitely having a tough game. You know, they're just humans, but I don't know, man. The reffing, I don't want to make comments on reffing again. They don't get paid enough for comments on reffing, but it was it's hard being a ref. I'd do it if they paid better. But I've looked at what it pays to be a ref, and it really doesn't pay to be a ref. So you really got to be passionate about the game. So, I mean, this game, the wheels fell off, like we were talking about with that first 5-minute major. And really, it looked like Ogden could pull this one off until 16 seconds remained in the 5-minute major. And the cross-checking penalty that the Ogden bench definitely didn't agree with. Again, I haven't gone back and watched the replay. But there were a lot of really bad calls and non-calls this game. So I'm not going to say if, you know, should have gone one way or another.
They were letting them play a little more today and compared to yesterday's game. But at the same time, that cross-checking one was kind of, I mean, even both broadcasters agreed that it was not really the right call. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a hard one to take at that point of the game, but you can't put yourself in that situation also. But at the same time, you know, I mean, like I'm waffling back and forth here. They had just been at almost the very end of a 5-minute major. And
yeah, you know, there's 16 seconds left in the 5-minute major.
Penalty killers.
Yeah.
Like, we're recording this, you know, not that long after the game ended, and just the immediate reaction thoughts. And it's just like, that's a tough one to put yourself in that situation, and just going down two men. It was almost immediate where South Shore scored. Like, yeah, within,
it took a few seconds.
You know,
and that puck was it was through traffic. Volsky didn't have a chance on it. No. So you can't knock him for that, because he made some stupid saves this game, like incredible saves. But again, but so did Kyes or Keyes?
They keep saying Kyes. It looked like Keyes because that's just what makes some more sense. But yeah. I default to them, because, you know, this is the first time we're watching this South Shore Kings team. But
yeah, we are. And but
just, yeah, I just mean, a tough one for Ogden to go out on, and just, you know, we'll have to see how this affects tomorrow's game, especially with, as they reported on the broadcast, that any of these disqualifications means you don't play tomorrow. If it was just a misconduct, then you do. But, man, I wouldn't be surprised. I think there were at least one or two that got disqualified from Ogden. I don't know about the assistant coach situation.
Hopefully not disqualified, but yeah, I was agreeing with you. In fact, our group chat, well, I was very active. I think I said it in here to the group about Ogden, because it just seemed like, I maybe have to go to a different chat. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't a group chat where I'm like, Ogden just needs to chill, you know, not to be tossed out of next game. Shit happens, win tomorrow. Like it was with that couple minutes left where it really seemed like, especially with the assistant coach being kicked out of the game. I think Lafferty got booted. I think Hendrickson had a 10-minute major. Not 10-minute misconduct, not 10-minute major.
Yeah.
And there was, again, another 5-minute major, which I think really was the catalyst for the real wheels falling off, because I didn't replay it again. So I'm watching this with no replay. The player seemed to have gotten hurt as well. And they, I think it was Mustonen that they tossed out of the game, but yeah. I don't think that from the reaction of the bench, apparently they had obviously the replay, like we all do. We have the phone app, right? He lost it. So I don't think the assistant coach would lose it if he saw a dirty hit and was like, we just have to deal with this tomorrow. So for him to lose it and end up getting tossed out of the game. And again, I think there was a Mustangs fan tossed out of the game that was sitting right there where the alleged hit happened. Again, I'm calling the ledger right now because I haven't seen the replay. So I think it's a tough thing to fall into right there, because they had ended up getting down 2-1 on that 5-on-3. And then it just kind of, again, Volsky getting called on the very blatant interference. But that's just frustration boiling over. But it's also, I mean, my concern there was like, don't get yourself tossed out of the game, Volsky. Because they can't take any more players off the ice. So certain players can take liberties, but you got to think about the next game at that point.
Is it worth an injury? Just boiled over, you know, with those last few penalties that they kept taking. So, the one from Volsky was a questionable decision. But it just seemed like everybody just had a hard time, you know, wrapping their mind around how that game ended. And it kind of feels like today was the situation of, you know, I don't know the history of South Shore. They kind of mentioned it yesterday where, like, I think that this is a team that's maybe like kind of got a little more veteran aspect to them and like, you know, kind
they're
of like
one of the original founding there, member of the league. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, this is a situation of the newbies of the NCDC versus the been there, done that guys. And so, you know, one team's having a bit more success with staying calm, you know, like they did up their game to match Ogden's hitting and aggression and stuff like that from yesterday. But now all of a sudden, you know, Ogden's not exactly able to keep their heads cool. So we'll see how that goes heading into tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think they need to keep their heads cool heading into tomorrow. Everything's on the line for both teams. The better team will win. And that's just the way the format's set up. So,
and the better goaltending should hopefully prevail as well.
Yeah, because the goaltending was incredible this game. I mean, really, Volsky and Kais, they played good game yesterday. But neither of them really earned a star. But for like this game, they both ended up in my top three stars category, but I'll say I probably did a little bit better of tracking because I couldn't use the shared space that I watched yesterday's game in, because I don't know. I heard guitars and singing, so I screamed in the other direction and ended up just having to watch it in my little space. So I was able to write down names consistently. So again, guys that didn't win one of my three stars for this game was like Boyatz has played a great game. Patience, forechecking, Simcoe and dirty dangles that were kind of ignored. Bruce for South Shore. I think he was blocking shots. He was a great PKer. Richards is forecheck. Stakayak. Again, I don't know South Shore's team, but I wrote down what I heard. And I wrote down
Stakayak. Maybe
the Koniak, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
His legs, man, he never stopped. He was everywhere on the ice. Zakari, same thing, everywhere on the ice. Heinemann, just making smart defensive ends. I think he grew through a pretty decent hip check that interrupted a play towards the end of the game. But my three stars of the game was going to be the third stars, the South Shore's goalie, Kai, stopping 25 of 26. And he made a few really critical saves that had Ogden been able to get, would this game would be different and they'd be raising a cup right now. So Kai's had a great game and again made a few critical saves. Cherniak, effort, man. Effort for checking his break-ins, blocking shots. I don't know if necessarily if he blocked the shot or he had to block the shot or if it just hit him, but I'm pretty confident.
There was a moment, yeah, there was a moment where they iced the puck and he should have come off the ice probably. I mean, they were like, I don't know if he's injured or whatever, but they're like, well, it's icing. He technically can't come off if he's okay to go. And he's like, all right, I'm going back in. So that was just grittiness. We definitely saw that from both sides tonight.
Yeah. And this, it shows why he worked his way up all the way to tier two this year. You could see it. You could see the beginning of it during the brutal days of Long Beach. That he was definitely a diamond in the rough on that organization and launched himself up to Vegas and eventually up to Ogden. But my first star of the game is the losing netminder, Volsky, because, God, they didn't lose because of him. he made, I want to say, at least a handful of critical saves. I know he made that really pretty save that ended up the rebound. Nobody could clear it, which, in my opinion, after that initial save, I think the defense failed to prevent that goal, the tying goal. And I don't know what defender, but watch the replay. I think that once he made that initial save, there could have been more done to clear out that puck. But it is, you know, it is a game. And the power play saves during a lot of the penalty killing were just incredible. I mean, he just had a stellar game. He is feeling it. He has, again, like the broadcaster said, he's not led more than three goals in a game since entering the playoffs. So he right now is Ogden's savior if they have any chance at winning this over South Shore. And I think it's the same in the other side for Kai's. I don't know, man. Like, it's the best team is going to win tomorrow. And and this is good. This is good for the NCDC. This is good for West Coast hockey. It'd be better for West Coast hockey, especially if Ogden can win tomorrow. I mean, I will be finding a way to try to get home in time, as we've committed to kind of a environmental cleanup here on the island in the morning. And it should be done by that time, but we will see, because I will definitely be looking at the clock come noon and looking at my wife and going, we need to go. Cause I want to go see this game. Cause otherwise I'm going to be mute. If I can't get back and see this game live, I will be mute. I will be turning off every piece of social media and I will just wait to get home and, you know, blurry eyed, turn on Flow Hockey and watch a game from the beginning and start screaming then. Like I said, and like you said earlier in the podcast before we wrap this up, because we do want to keep this short, is I would be the same for any team coming out of the West right now. Had it been Provo, had it been Utah, had it been Idaho Falls, or Pueblo or Rock Springs, I would have been, at the end of the day, I mean, I cover all six teams. I enjoy covering all six teams. And Ogden is, of course, my team. But when they go West, they're my team, whatever team that is. If they play in a showcase that's not Western Coast teams, that's my team. That's the team I'm rooting for. Ogden is the gateway drug that got me into the junior hockey world. But I found new drugs. And it's five other teams in the NCDC. And of course,
this is a non-edited podcast, but man, Chris's choice of words today do not reflect the rest of Pitch Milwaukee. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the drug being hockey, man, the drug yes. being hockey.
Yeah,
and exactly. That's a good drug, truthfully, because you know, there's
we're all hooked on it, all six of us.
Well, that's why we have a hockey podcast. So, yeah, I'm really stoked for tomorrow. That is really the last game I care about this year, and then I will suffer through the NHL playoffs out of depression because I have no more junior hockey. But
I still might not, to be honest here. But I'm following along, but barely. It's gonna be a long off season, too long.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of there's been a bunch of player signings again, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get into that in the coming when there's no more, I guess,
live
playoff hockey to talk about. Yeah, we're gonna get into the signing because Rock Springs and Pueblo have been signing players, so we've got some new blood coming into the NCDC West to talk about, and some returning. So that'll be some exciting things to talk about for a time period where there's not a lot of hockey that we care about. For you listeners, the NHL playoffs and the PWHL playoffs will be happening. I will say I'm maybe excited about the PWHL playoffs, but that's again another episode
when those start. But we can definitely talk about that another day.
I think the draft is in June, and if anybody in the NCDC can reach out to me and let me know when the hell the draft is for the NCDC, I could find the dates for it last year, and I keep finding the stuff for the Detroit showcase or whatever's happening. Are we doing the draft at the same time? Am I not reading the article fully because I hate reading? I don't know. There's got to be something out there that tells us when the NCDC draft is, because I want to. Last year, again, I fell asleep to the soothing voices of the Dan Kay show in Copenhagen, because I think I made it through like five draft picks, and it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning in Copenhagen. I was gone.
Yeah, that's too late.
I got off of work at like, I think, 12 a.m., 1 a.m., and came back and tried. I really did, but it was over. This year I'm West Coast, so it'll be early for me, kind of like the NFL draft was, which I'm not going to get into what the hell the Falcons are thinking, but it's been very fun to watch the fallout of that so far. But yeah, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, tune in for the next episode. This one is a kind of a short one, 30 minutes, Sam. But not editing it. Yeah,
we nailed it. I think we aimed for our goal and got there. The PWHL playoffs I'm excited about. And just wanted to give a quick shout out to, I believe, the game-winning goal scorer for South Shore today. That was only his second goal of the season, first goal of the playoffs. So I believe his last name was Grant. I couldn't hear the first name.
So he had to pick up the sticks at the end of the game.
Yeah, also that too. He's doing it all.
But yeah, the better team will win. I will, of course, as I think all of us on this podcast, will be rooting for Ogden. So Ogden, you have our support, and you have definitely.
We'll be busting out all the Ouija boards and the voodoo dolls and whatever we need to.
I didn't sit down during that first game, man. I was pacing.
That's a workout, man.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, it's. I told you guys. I think halfway through the second period, my voice, I think, was almost gone yesterday. I was yelling at the TV. I was yelling at the TV. Every one of the good things and every one of the stupid mistakes.
Every one of the curse words.
Yes. So I try to be careful in our building not to curse so much.
That's fair.
You know, it's whatever. But no, yeah, the better team will win. I'm super excited, and I guess probably a great place to wrap it up. Sam, we have anything else to chat about before we wrap this one?
No, I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, download this, push it out on a thing, and get it out here in about 5 minutes, and then start cooking dinner because, I've got a really good Italian recipe I want to try. So we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This is the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris and Sam.
Enjoy the final game of the NCDC season, folks.
Enjoy it, because we will be, and we will be watching, and we will be giving coverage to that final game. Win or lose for Ogden, we're going to talk about it. And Absolutely. Remember, listeners, always clear your crease.